Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back. We are a little out of practice because we did take a bit of a break, but we are excited to be back in the saddle here.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been nice to see a familiar and friendly face.
Yeah, I had thought about this. I'm really bad with social media usually. And I was like, oh, I should like Snapchat her and like, I don't know, tell her about my day or whatever. And then like I never did because I'd be like, I'll do it later when I've done something. I don't know. And then I never did. So
well, we talk here we are. Pretty normally yeah. throughout the week anyway. Yeah. So.
I do have a question for you, though.
Okay.
So it's summer, and it's a little bit of a different summer, obviously, but still, what is your, like, one summer item that you really are wanting to find right now? Like hot summer item.
Like,
I don't
clothing?
Know. Clothes, or makeup, whatever. I don't care.
I guess this kind of ties into our topic a little bit, but okay. I've been really needing a swimsuit cover-up. Only because, like, I don't really want to wear, like, just shorts with my swimsuit. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like a grown woman should just have a cover-up.
I don't know if I do either.
I mean, I don't wear, like, bikinis or anything, but I just don't want to be, like, wearing a t-shirt over my one piece. I don't know. I don't know what's weird. So that's yeah. what I want.
Is there like, are you looking for any particular style or?
Like a muumuu type.
Okay.
What about you?
I am on the hunt for a quality like self tanner because I'm getting some really strange tan lines and I'd like to even that out a little bit. And then my legs never see the light of day, so they need some color.
Well, I can promise you, if you just do one search on Google and say self-tanner, all your Facebook ads are going to pop up with self-tanner options that all the Instagram models are using.
Good. That will give me some choices then.
Yeah, because I did that maybe a month ago and was looking up them, and then I just got freaking swarmed.
Yeah. Options. We'll see. They're just trying to be helpful. They're not trying to spy on you or anything.
No. They're like, we know you really want this. Here's all the options all at once.
Yeah.
Make a decision now.
Buy them all. But I guess it kind of does, like almost both of those tie into some form of our topic today, which is kind of a doozy because they do tie into how we think of ourselves.
Yeah, like body image.
Yes.
And I think specifically with women, because we can't really speak for men and what their thoughts are. And quite honestly, I didn't look up any statistics or stories about men. So
yeah, I have a little bit about men, but it's more just acknowledging that it is a topic that happens with men too. It's not just women, but it's definitely something that I think we associate with women more often.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is going to be a fun one, I'm sure, with you'll get to learn about us a little bit more probably too.
Yeah. And so. I think it'd be really great to get some feedback on this topic too, and just see like how people are feeling about themselves, especially during this time. I feel like if you're quarantining or if you're just like kind of alone with your thoughts, you know, you can go to kind of a dark place sometimes.
So yeah.
I think just talking about it and acknowledging it and having someone to talk to about it is nice.
Yes, for sure. I kind of just found a general definition of what body image is. And as far as like psychologically, there was four components that I found. So first one was how we perceive our body. And this can be true or distorted. You may think of your body in a way that it doesn't actually look to other people. That's very possible and very likely, as a matter of fact. The next is how we feel about our body, positively, negatively, and that kind of thing. And then how we think about our body, as far as, do you think about your body and think, you know, if I could just lose 10 pounds, I'd be good, or I need to get a nose job, or, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then the last component to body image is how we behave because of those first three. So that could be exercising, dieting, avoiding, you know, pictures being taken of you, that kind of thing. So That's kind of all of the different aspects of body image wrapped into a quick summary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's kind of what I have too. Your body image isn't always like directly related to your weight and size. Like you mentioned, like the more body dysmorphia type side of it, which I can relate to probably the most.
Okay. Some different terms that they use in the biz is probably not the best way to put it. It's when they talk about these types of things and like research papers and stuff. So the first one, I think probably everybody can relate to on some level at some point in their life. And that's just body dissatisfaction, general unhappiness with some aspect of your body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Like everyone can pick out something on their body that they're like, no, don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, probably even supermodels could point to something that they're not happy with. So, I mean, what is it? Megan Fox has her short thumbs.
Oh, toe thumbs. Hey, we're not hating.
No, I'm just saying that. And maybe those are her favorite part of her body. I don't know. Yeah. But I'm just, you know, everybody's got some type of flaw that they probably go over and over in their brain. So
yeah.
The next one, and this is something that I have done before, is an over-evaluation of weight. And that's when you associate your self-worth or like your self-esteem level kind of with your weight or your ability to control your weight. I'm kind of going through that right now because we're dieting and I'm trying to exercise and like my ability to like control all that stuff that goes into my weight has, on a day that I don't exercise, I'm definitely feeling less about myself than a day that I do.
Yeah.
100%. And then if I see the scale go down, then I'm like, oh, I actually look in the mirror and I feel like I see myself in a more positive light than I do if the scale stays the same. So yeah,
totally agree. Well, and I feel like I can relate to that. Like I had a baby and I feel like after I had a baby, I was obviously much heavier than I was when I was beginning or like when I, before I got pregnant. And then like after that, I mean, you kind of think like, oh, you're going to lose all that weight like within like 2 months or whatever. But I mean, that's not necessarily the case. And then I was just really add on like postpartum depression and like just all the hormones and all of that stuff. So, so that was a rough ride.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I get upset enough with myself about like, you can't always control your weight in a way that's like easy, but still I can control it more than a pregnant woman can control that type of thing. So
yeah,
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And then like, even still, like my body's never going to be the same. Like I will never look like I did when I was like 20. Like it's just not going to happen. Like I have stretch marks now because I grew a human in me. Like, like what can you do? And like, that's just been a really like long and hard, like I'm still dealing with it. Like I'm never going to look the same. And it's hard to accept that fact. Like it's just, it's different.
Yeah. I guess being in my, this is scary to say, my mid-30s. Like, yeah, it's just, you know, the metabolism is not what it used to be. Like, it just hardly takes anything to feel like I'm gaining weight. And I just, I'm like, why did I not take advantage of when I had like actual better metabolism and like, I don't know. It is a struggle. Just even just a lot of aspects. You can't turn back time essentially and go back. So.
And then do you feel like as you're aging, you're finding like your body isn't like agreeing with foods that you used to eat when you were in your 20s?
I've always had this like kind of thing where certain foods make me have like a stomach ache within 30 minutes of eating. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that happens a lot more often now. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I've never really had a food allergy or like intolerance that I've known about, but mm-hmm. I've also never really like explored that very much, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I only say that because like more recently, anytime I'm eating like carb heavy food, I do get a stomach ache rather quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's like a pain. And it's like, well, I just ate this like a month ago and I felt fine. Like, what's going on now? My God.
We went hiking over by Sioux Falls and we did takeout from Buffalo Wild Wings because Will loves hot wings. It's his favorite food. And we were like, okay, we haven't been to Buffalo Wild Wings in months. Mm-hmm. So we ate in the car in the parking lot, you know, social distancing. Mm-hmm. And I was driving home. Will's like fast asleep in the seat beside me. And I started to have the worst pains in my stomach, like someone was stabbing me. It mm-hmm. was awful. And then we come up to road construction, and it was like the longest road construction wait, like 20 plus minutes. And it was just sitting there like, so if you'd be like stabbing pain, and I was like literally like on the steering wheel going like, oh my God, I'm going to be okay. And then like it'd go away. And then like a few minutes later, it'd come back. I don't know what it was, but
isn't that like terrifying? Like, this is how I'm going to go.
I know. I was like, well, maybe like my appendix is rupturing. I don't know. But I'm like sitting in this construction line. I can't get anywhere. Yeah.
It eventually was fine then.
It was. It went away eventually, but it was sure a rough ride back home for a bit there. It was a little dicey.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the Buffalo Wild Wings. I had like the sampler platter. So like, definitely food that we hadn't been eating because we're trying to diet. So I don't know if my body was like
rejecting
punishment.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, and I feel like this is the same thing with like your body image. Like the foods mm-hmm. that you were once comfortable with eating are now like you have to like relearn your body all over again. And that gets discouraging. It's like, well, if I can't have this, then what the heck can I do? And then you just get frustrated.
You eat nuts and berries.
Yeah. And it's frustrating.
It is. And that's another thing that leads into the next, I guess, category is body preoccupation. And that's mm-hmm. just thinking about your body or body shape all the time or a lot. Oof.
Yeah.
Which
basically anytime I look in the mirror, I'm looking at something that I'm like, mm-hmm. could be better.
Yeah. We have a big mirror in our living room. So like anytime we walk through that room, I see my reflection, and sometimes I'm just like, whoo, what the heck? Like, it's not good. Yeah. I don't know. It's like the closer I get to the mirror, the better it is. I don't really have much problem with my face, I think, but it's my body that I have a problem with. So if I can like get close to a mirror and just like look at my face, mm-hmm. then it's not as bad. But when I like back up and I'm like halfway across the room and I can see like the hips and the thighs and everything, I'm like, let's not look over there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I do think about it a lot. Like, I mean, especially now that we're dieting, like mm-hmm. every time I eat anything, I'm like, how is this going to affect? Am I going to like be up half a pound tomorrow because of water mm-hmm. retention? Like mm-hmm. constantly.
Yeah. Like we recently made bagels. So I've been eating bagels.
I saw that.
Like, every morning. Well, I mean, they're really good and I don't want to waste them.
They look delicious.
They really are. But then I'm like, once I eat them, I know I'm like, well, if I eat this bagel, then I have to skip this or I have to have a lighter lunch. It's like a constant, like, I don't want to say, like, I'm not, I don't know. It's not like a war internally or anything. Yeah. It's just like, I'm trying to be conscious of what I'm doing, but I don't need to be beating myself up for it though either. Like,
yeah, that's the thing is like, how much is it really going to matter if you have one little thing? Like, it's not going to make you gain 10 pounds. Another, and I think this comes from body preoccupation, and I've heard this a lot used when people talk about eating disorders, is body checking. And that's where you're repeatedly checking in the mirror or the scale or like, it said like pinching to feel like you're fat or comparing. I've never pinched myself to feel my fat, probably because it's like, it's there. We know it's there.
I used to do this thing. I don't really do it so much anymore, but if someone were to touch me someplace, like after they were done touching me, I would touch it and be like, how did that feel? Did it feel like flappy or like, like my arms specifically? Like, I'd be like, what does that feel like to them? Okay. And like, that's just another dumb thing that I would do and be like, well, if it feels bad, I'm going to work on that. Why?
Yeah, I definitely look in the mirror and I weigh myself at least once a day.
Right. I know. Now. I do it every morning just to know at least I'm not gaining weight.
I don't always do that. Like there's periods of time and that's when I know I've really gone off the wagon is like, I don't weigh myself for a couple months and then you step back on and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like almost scary. Like I almost have to like exercise or diet for like a week before I'm like ready to step back on because I don't want to see like the like how bad it got. But
yeah.
And here we are talking so negatively about ourselves in an episode that's supposed to be
about. Well, yeah. I hope this is coming to people like where they can relate to it at least and know like 91% of women are unhappy with their bodies and resort to dieting to achieve their ideal body shape. Only 5% of women naturally possess the body type often portrayed in American media.
Yikes. Yeah. So no wonder.
We are that 91%. Like, who are these other people? Like, they're the Instagram models and the TikTok girls and whatever. Like, it's them. Well, I'm sure they're probably dealing with their own stuff too.
Yeah. Exactly. And I just remember this body checking thing coming up. I don't know if anybody knows who Eugenia Cooney is.
Yeah, I watched that YouTube video with Shane Dawson. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did one on her. She obviously she wouldn't admit, but she definitely appeared to be struggling with an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And a lot of her videos, people would say, were actually just basically her body checking the whole time because she would try on clothes and then like pose and then like watch herself in the video monitor. Mm-hmm. And so she was basically just checking to see, you know, I mean, you could count the girl's ribs. Like she was very, very skinny. So it's something that people do like to kind of almost trigger or reinforce themselves when they do have an eating disorder. We all probably do it to some extent. Body image avoidance is kind of the opposite. It's where you don't want to confront anything that would trigger your concerns about your body shape. Mm-hmm. So you're avoiding pictures taken of you. You don't look in the mirror. Maybe you just don't have a mirror. Wearing baggy clothes, just basically trying to avoid your body image, but usually it's coming from a place of feeling negatively about yourself. That's why you don't want to confront it. And I've definitely tried to cover, I mean, swimsuit cover up, like that's kind of an avoidance where you're trying to cover yourself. So, and then this is the one you mentioned already, but body dysmorphia is kind of the belief that some aspect of your body is essentially flawed and so it warrants certain behaviors to fix it. And I think we see this a lot with not only like women but trans people often suffer from body dysmorphia because they see, you know, you look in the mirror and you see the opposite of what you feel. So that's a very traumatic thing, I think, for a lot of people. But it's not just that. There's other ways you can have body dysmorphia.
That would be really hard. I've actually never thought of trans people dealing with that. That makes me sad. That makes me want to cry because I've never, like, personally, I've never had to deal with anything like that. So to feel totally different on the inside and see something that you don't want on the outside, I mean, that's
Well, and I think that's one reason why there's a lot of like mental health issues in that community, aside from all of the obvious, you know, discrimination and that kind of thing, is just wanting to be viewed as what you view yourself. I think there's a disconnect there. I have a few different trans people on my Facebook that I've seen kind of talk about why things like surgeries and stuff like that are so important is because that helps you with the dysmorphia, which can be, I mean, to the point of, you know, suicidal thoughts and that kind of thing, just because you're not, you know, reconciling what you see and how you feel is a very traumatic thing. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
And then this last one kind of pertains probably more to men than women, but it's muscle dysmorphia, and it's just more of a main focus on like musculature. Mm-hmm. And fear of insufficient muscularity and just like having an unhealthy drive towards like a bodybuilder physique, I guess.
Yeah. Don't you think bodybuilders probably suffer a lot from these type of things?
I read actually that male bodybuilders actually do have a lot of body image problems because they're chasing that ideal. There's always, you know, somebody at your competition or whatever that's better. You know, you're mm-hmm. literally being judged mm-hmm. on your body. But then the same article said that female bodybuilders actually suffer from body image issues less than the general female population because they're embracing like kind of a body that's not the norm. And so they just have like a general positive feeling about themselves.
Fair.
I don't know.
Interesting. I did read that like Ireland, the Irish men over there experience more pressure than women do to have a more like large and muscular physique. Like I guess body image in Ireland is like a bigger deal to men than it is women.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I just think about that Ireland fact. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I don't really, it's hard for me to think of like an Irish person. Like, what do they look like? They just look like a British person to me. Yeah. I shouldn't say that.
If we have any listeners over in that region, that'd be interesting to hear from them.
Yeah, what their take is on it.
I mean, I can read all day, but someone who's actually over there might have a better mm-hmm. insight.
Yeah, like I wonder why that there's some type of like media or like a movie star or something that like made it so that men feel a lot of pressure versus women. Yeah. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I know we do have some listeners in Ireland, so I don't know if they're still listening after the break, but if they are,
fingers crossed.
Let us know. All of these things that we've just talked about, I mean, it's a big deal. And there's a lot of statistics that show just how big of a deal it is. Mm-hmm. For example, you said 91% of women.
Yeah.
And one thing that really struck me when I was doing some research was just how young this starts. I saw that 50% of 13-year-old girls are unhappy with their body. Mm-hmm. And by the time they're 17, that grows to 80%. Just about half of 9 to 11-year-olds are either sometimes or very often on diets. And a lot of that is because their family is on diets. Their parents are, you know, talking about their weight or dieting at home. And the kids definitely pick up on that.
Yeah.
And think about their own bodies that way. So I was just going to ask if you felt comfortable sharing your first, I guess, early memory about body image, if you have anything in particular.
I have a few that come to mind immediately. So I remember being in maybe fifth grade, so like a 10-year-old.
Okay.
And I remember I was going to a pool party, like a pool birthday party. And I remember running in my room. I was running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth because I'm like, I can't wear my swimsuit in front of all these girls. And so I was just like running, trying to lose the weight or whatever. And then I remember doing like ab crunches and stuff. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I remember like being 10 years old and being worried about that.
Yeah.
And then another memory that comes to mind was like, I was in middle school and I was spending the night at this girl's house and we just like ate dinner or whatever. And so we go down to her bedroom to hang out and she goes to the bathroom and I hear her throwing up. Oh. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, did you get sick? And she's like, no, I don't want to eat. Like, I don't want to keep my food. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. And she's like, it's terrible for your teeth. Like, I hate that I'm doing this to my teeth, but I can't keep the food. And I'm like, the hell? Like, I think we were in an eighth grade.
Yeah.
And so like, that was the first thing. And then I remember going home trying it. And I was like, I can't, like, I can't make myself throw up. Like, it just didn't, it felt wrong. But I mean, I saw my friend doing it, who clearly was having a bulimia problem in eighth grade, and I was impressionable enough to want to try it myself.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe you don't know, but I mean, did she ever get any help with that, or is it just kind of.
Like, okay, her kind of backstory was like her parents were divorced. Her mom is so beautiful, like thin, so beautiful. Like, I remember she had like a boob job and stuff, like very much vain and cared about her image or whatever. And so I think she kind of pressured her on that. And I'm pretty positive she was on diet pills herself, but that her mom was wanting her to take. It's not like she was overweight by any means, but I mean, I would say she was like bigger than other girls in our grade, but certainly not overweight. So I think she was already in therapy because of her parents' divorce. And I don't know if that's a thing, but I know I look at her Facebook now and she's super thin. So it makes me wonder. What about you?
So, I guess I remember feeling like, now I was not like a fat child, but I thought I was, if that makes sense. Like,
Because I thought the same thing about
yeah,
myself
like
too.
looking back, I was definitely like just complete, pretty average. And actually, I looked kind of athletic as a child, I think. But like, I definitely always thought that I was fat. So I just remember I did dance as a young kid. And this is hard to believe now, but I was taller. Like, I grew faster than everybody else, essentially. So, like, when I was even this is probably like kindergarten and first grade, I was taller than everybody else. And kind of, you know, that comes along with you're bigger, or else you're just going to be like a stick, which I wasn't a stick. I was like average build, but so just bigger, like overall. And so, I always kind of felt weird being bigger. And then, obviously, that didn't last because I'm definitely not tall anymore.
For reference, Molly is 5 feet tall. She's a
I'm
hottest.
5'2", 5'2". But I was like 5'2" in like fifth and sixth grade. Like, I got to that height very quickly. So I guess I always just kind of felt that way. And then I do remember one moment in fifth grade, this guy named Nick, and I won't say his last name for privacy. He was, I don't know, he was just like sitting around in the classroom, and he said something about like he was so fat because his thigh was larger than his head. And I looked at my thigh and I was like, I think my thigh's larger than my head, like circumference wise. And to this day, I think about that,
That is
my
such a
thigh being
bizarre
larger than my
thought.
head. Yeah, I don't know. Because it was like he said it about himself. He didn't even say it about me. But I took that and like internalized it. And I was like, I want my thigh to be smaller than around than my head. I don't know. That was just one weird thing that I always remember. And we did, I don't know, did you guys ever do like swimming lessons as a class?
No.
Well, we did that. That was interesting. Having
What
to wear,
grade?
I think it was sixth grade. Like, we
Okay.
all went to the, it was like a hotel that had like swimming lessons that they did in their pool. And so you had to wear your swimsuit in front of the entire grade. And that was traumatizing because,
For a sixth grade girl, yeah, I can
yeah.
imagine.
And at that point, and this is something that I read kind of ties in where I guess probably matured on the earlier end. So I was having, more, you get more body fat and stuff like that when you go through puberty. So at that point in my life, that was definitely happening. And so you'd have like these skinny girls who, didn't have any worries in the world running around. And then I'm sitting here like, why do I look this way? So, but I read that girls who mature earlier, like, definitely do have a lot of body issue problems just because you do gain body fat and hormones and that kind of thing. And you're moving away from that like thin ideal that is portrayed. And then boys that mature later are the ones who have more body problems because they feel like they're not muscular enough and that kind of thing. So it's just kind of interesting, like the opposite spectrums of girls and boys. So yeah. And then I always thought that I was, chubby. I remember like I'd sit in a chair and try to measure if my like legs reached the sides of the chair. Like, I'd be like, okay, I need my legs to be like within the seat of the chair.
I remember doing that stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, yeah, there's just a lot of early memories, I guess, but
mm-hmm. I remember even maybe in middle school sometime and I mm-hmm. was declaring myself a vegetarian, but not out of like the goodness that a vegetarian should be, but yeah. more because I'm like, I can't eat anything. I only need to eat salads from here on out. I can't eat anything else
yeah.
because I'm fat. Like I thought I just was having all this warped thoughts, you know?
Yeah. I remember I hardly ever ate lunch. So I guess I was like intermittent fasting my entire high school career.
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably weighed like 125 pounds. It's not like I was fat, but I thought I was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I guess there's just a lot of that body dysmorphia. Like I killed away 125 pounds now. Like take me back.
Yeah. But, it is crazy what yeah. you think of yourself. I remember I was working out really hard. This was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I was working out really hard. It was right before I moved over here. And I remember Jesse and I moved. I had to move back in with my parents for like a few weeks before our lease started at our apartment over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, I'm gaining so much weight being at my parents' house because I'm eating anything I want because they have all the things and I don't yeah. have to pay for it. And I remember taking a picture. I was in my like bathing suit. I just came inside from like tanning outside or whatever. So I took a picture and I'm like, I need to remember what I look like right now because I feel fat and I need this as like my comparison photo. And like, that's a crazy thing I still do. Like I still do photos of progress, which really I don't see it as progress. I need to be like, I need to remember what I look like. I don't know. It's just stupid.
No, I get it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It popped up on like my Snapchat memories and I looked at it and like, what was I thinking?
Did Why you post did I- it?
No, like oh, okay. I took it on Snapchat and saved it to gotcha, my Snapchat gotcha, gotcha. Because I know Snapchat does like the reminder for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why
you really wanted to make yourself feel shitty like a couple years down the road.
I did. And that's so sick, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I look back on it now. I'm like, Jesus, like what was I thinking? That is so stupid of me to think mm-hmm. that.
One thing that I was disappointed about to read is that, because I was kind of hoping, satisfaction with your body image doesn't necessarily get better with time. And I feel like this is something that I assumed would happen. You just like, as you got older, you'd be like, I just accept myself for who I mm-hmm. am. But I guess pretty close to the same percentage of people feel unsatisfied with their bodies in their 60s and 70s as do in their 20s and 30s.
Oh, and that's like a sad thought too.
Yeah. And it's like 4 in 10 men report that they do feel better with age, which is still less than half, but fewer than like about a quarter of women said the same. On the other hand, about half of women say that their confidence wanes as they age. So they're getting less confident as they age. So I don't know. I was just hoping that I would feel better about myself. I mean, I guess it's a personal choice. Like if mm-hmm. I, you know, work on my self-esteem and being positive, mm-hmm. I can feel better about myself. But just the fact that it doesn't get that way for everybody. And there's a lot of people out there who just continually feel worse and worse about themselves as they get older mm-hmm. is sobering and sad and depressing. So
yeah. Do you think that has to do with like your skin maturing and like gravity taking effect on
yeah,
things?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And Rachel, let me tell you, like, I honestly think I have decent skin. Like I'm not really upset with my skin. Mm-hmm. I haven't done much to maintain my skin. So I guess mm-hmm. I'm lucky, but they always say like when you're in your 30s, you need to like have a pretty substantial skin routine. And I don't, but like, I do definitely like, I'm like, okay, I know where my wrinkles are. Like mm-hmm. I know where my creases are. And yeah. it's something that I didn't think about 5 years ago, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like I have this thing on my face that's discolored that gets worse and worse every year. And now mm-hmm. it's like, it used to be just on my forehead. I think it's like sun damage.
Like melasma?
Kind of. Yeah. I don't know. I researched it. People were calling it like pregnancy mask or something. I'm like, well, I've never been pregnant, so that's not what this is. Yeah. But it could be. I did see that. So it's like on my face, and then now it's kind of going down the side of my face. And so that's kind of something that I'm a little bit self-conscious about, but a lot of the time I do forget it's there. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely noticed like post-pregnancy, mm-hmm. I was like developing like rosacea. And I like, my mom has dealt with the same stuff too. So, I mean, I know it's.
Yeah, I know I have the same kind of thing. And I was like, what can I do to reverse it? And then the internet told me there's nothing you can do besides like get the veins removed, essentially.
Lovely. And yeah. I think these are things that like, I mean, I'm sure men are dealing with skin issues of their own, but I don't think it just pops up. You know, I think ours are like more hormonal, right?
They very well could be hormonal. And I think, I mean, we just pay attention to it more because mm-hmm. we're more conscious of that type of thing. I guess
looking at our face, and yeah. also we don't really like grow facial hair, so I guess those things yeah. kind of get
if only I could just put a beard on my face.
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's an issue that affects all ages, I guess, is kind of the overarching theme there. So I mean, and I know my mom, like, she does go to the gym a lot, but I know she'll be like, oh, I gaining back like a little bit of weight and I have to like hit the gym a little bit more, you know. I mean, and she's in her 60s, so I don't mm-hmm. think, like, she's not a vain person. It's not like she's, you know,
but she's conscious yeah. of what's going on.
And I think a lot of it is somewhat health related as well yeah. as you get older. And even like with myself, I'm like, okay, people do start having heart attacks in their 40s. I mm-hmm. don't want to be at that point when I get to 40. So I need to do something now to like get myself ready mm-hmm. and be healthy when that time comes. So I don't want to die at 40 from a heart attack. So
yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. But yeah, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, men do have body issues as well. I saw a number that was around 20% of men have some type of dissatisfaction with their body. The most concerning thing there is that that number is growing. They are, I think, as social media and stuff comes on the rise, they're getting more pressure as well.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So
I was just going to say, I found like a stat saying like, the more reality TV a girl watches, the more likely she is to find her appearance important.
Okay.
And then I kind of feel like that has to deal with a lot, like the people that you're seeing on TV and what the
yes.
ideal body type is for them.
Absolutely.
And now add on social media, all these, like that is a quick way to really get down on yourself, is looking at like Instagram models and like these TikTok girls and whatever. It's yeah. just a rabbit hole.
It is. Out of the things that affect people, I think that's probably getting to be one of the biggest things that affects people's body image. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like the people you're around, the environment you grew up in, and like the culture and stuff is going to affect it too. For example, there are different cultures that value different types of bodies, but I read that, for example, I think it was having to do with like Mexican immigrants, those that came after age 17 generally had a more positive body image of themselves than mm-hmm. those that came before age 17, because during that impressionable time they were exposed to like American thin tall mm-hmm. ideals. But yeah, so it's a lot of that kind of thing. But social media is something that I thank God that wasn't around when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Facebook became a thing like right after I graduated, and mm-hmm. I mean, if I can't imagine what the kids have to deal with today, like for posting real. Pictures and social media and seeing everybody flaunting everything on there. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I saw, just kind of having to do with media, it's been estimated that young women today see more images of just incredibly beautiful women in one day than their mothers saw throughout their entire adolescence.
Wow.
Just because of the volume of media online yeah. everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. it just didn't exist, you know, back in the 70s or 80s. I mean, it right. did, advertisements and stuff, billboards, but mm-hmm. you didn't have it in your pocket.
That's so true.
And the media really starts affecting kids at a young age. There was a study done of the top 25 children's videos, and they found that 2/3 of them linked physical attractiveness to positive personality traits, and 3/4 of them linked obesity to unfavorable traits, such as unintelligence, unhappiness, laziness, that kind of thing in kids' shows. And then they found further that 87% of female cartoon characters are depicted as underweight. So, I mean, just think about even Disney princesses, like the Frozen girls. Like, they have big heads, tiny little waists. They probably would look very deathly skinny if they were a real person.
Yeah.
And that's what these, you know, kids are growing up as seeing as, you know, their role model and their idol. Female characters are 4 times more likely to be portrayed as underweight than male characters. And then I wondered after I read that, like, is that because male characters are being portrayed as excessively muscular? So maybe that's, you know, it could be harmful to little boys if they think that's how they have to be. But simply viewing a Barbie doll has been shown to reduce body esteem and increase the need for thinness in girls ages 5 to 8.
That makes me wonder, like, so, like, I know I played with Barbies and, like, brat dolls and stuff when I was a kid. Like, I definitely, definitely wanted to look like a brat doll. For sure. They were itty, itty, bitty, and they had, like, big eyes, and, I mean, their heads are huge, but,
yeah,
I mean, they were so pretty to me, and, like, their makeup was just a full beat. Like, they had the whole thing on. That's exactly what I wanted to look like when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's kind of just an unattainable ideal, so.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw that girls who frequently read glamour magazines, I don't know if that's, like, as much of a thing anymore, but like, I could extrapolate it to, like, Instagram, scrolling through, like, Insta models and stuff, are 6 times more likely to engage in extreme unhealthy weight control behaviors, like taking diet pills, laxatives, vomiting, that kind of thing. So the media really does affect.
Yeah, the story of my friend, like, me staying over the night at her house and she was, like, throwing up. I remember, like, she was so obsessed, and it's so dumb, but you remember the show Girls Next Door, or The Girls Next Door? It was, like, about the Playboy bunnies.
Oh, okay, followed, yeah, yeah.
Like, the three girlfriends or whatever. Yeah. She was obsessed with them, and, like, that's what she, I think that's what she wanted to look like. She wanted, like, because she did, like, she had blonde hair, and she was just really into that stuff, I guess. And
you had a really good story that you mentioned before we came on about Fiji.
Oh, yes. This kind of caught my eye. Fiji is a good example of television and how it impacts us. Television was not introduced in the remote provinces of Fiji until, like, the mid-1990s. But over the next 3 years, teenage girls went from viewing being overweight positively in that country, and they started viewing it as negatively. And 74% thought of themselves to be too fat and decided to diet. Wow. Just in a matter of 3 years watching television.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's, like, almost overhauling an entire, like, culture's ideals just with a few years of Western TV.
Yeah. And I will say, so I don't even think it's globally. I think even just in America, our different regions have different body types. Like, it's just a fact that Midwesterns, like, we are a different size than East Coasters and West Coasters. Like, we're just built differently.
I'll never forget my friend. I don't think she listens to this, so hopefully this isn't embarrassing. My friend was a foreign exchange student from Taiwan, and she was here for my junior year of high school. And I remember that she said, like, because they had learned about, like, the people that they're going to be around, I guess. And she said, basically, they were taught that Iowans are short and fat.
I mean, I don't know if all of us are, but
yeah,
I mean,
no, not all of us.
It's a good representation. I think Midwesterners, like, we grew up, like, literally, we grow corn and beans. Like, what do you think we eat around here? We eat a lot of, like, grain-based foods.
Mashed potatoes and pork chops.
Exactly. Like, that's what we eat versus, like, on the coast, they're eating a lot of fish. And that's a little more healthy fats and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, it totally makes sense. So, I mean, you can blame that on your region, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, and just...
I do know, and I don't know, you tell me if you felt this way, because you didn't grow up that far away from where I grew up. So there's a lot of Dutch people in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed when I went down to college at Iowa State and then came back to this area, I was like, I feel so much shorter back here than I did in Ames, because I feel, because Dutch people are tall. And so I feel like I just grew up with a lot of like tall blonde people because they were like Dutch genealogically speaking. And then when I was down in Ames, it was a lot more mixed with, you know, I don't know, different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't notice it until I came back from Ames, like for a summer. And I'll tell you, it was at a concert down like at the park,
mm-hmm.
just standing there. And I was like, everybody around me is a literal giant, mm-hmm. and I can't see anything. And I don't feel this way in Ames. So I don't know. That's my theory.
I guess I've personally never noticed it, but I do have, I don't know, it's just a quick story. Like Jesse's brother and his fiance, when he moved out to New York, I guess, you know, like out of college, he had like a bunch of senior pictures, and his fiance was telling me about like how they met and their first date or whatever. And she's like, I remember going over to his apartment and seeing all these senior pictures of these like tall blonde girls. Like they all looked the same to me. And like, that's what's making me think of that. It's like, those are all Iowa girls. That makes total sense.
Yeah, that's funny. So maybe there is a little bit, because I know we have a lot of like Dutch, and I know like Minnesota, which isn't too far away, has a mm-hmm. lot of Scandinavian. I don't know.
That's fair. Interesting.
Question is, why is it such a big deal to have a positive body image about yourself? And I think it's kind of obvious, but there's other things that are not as obvious. I mean, some of the risk factors are things like depression, anxiety. I've definitely dealt with those things involving body shape. increased mm-hmm. risk of suicidal thoughts is another thing. And I don't feel like I could ever say that I've been like truly suicidal, but I have definitely thought this is where I take it to a dark place.
Okay.
So I've been very frustrated just like not being able to like lose weight or be like what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I felt like, what's the point of being a lot, like I've felt like nobody notices you if you're overweight. Nobody, like you're never going to get respect and that kind of stuff. So I have felt like, what's the point if I, mm-hmm. if I'm going to be undesirable, what's the point? So mm-hmm. I have had those types of feelings. So I can kind of relate to,
yeah,
I've never been like thinking I'm going to actually do anything about it, but I have definitely mm-hmm. had those feelings of, you know, why keep going if I'm never going to be able to walk in a room and people think, she's fat. Like that's the first thing that I feel when I walk into the room, is that people are looking at me and thinking that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Anyway, unhealthy weight control behaviors is a risk. Like you said, bulimia, anorexia. I know when I was in college, and I didn't know at the time that this was kind of a form of bulimia. It's not just throwing up. It's pretty much any way that you compensate for what you eat. And what I would do is whatever I ate, I had to burn at the gym. Yeah. So I would go to the gym and spend like hours there until I burned 1500 calories or whatever. And then mm-hmm. I could eat again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something that definitely is probably not the healthiest thing, especially, you know, it's not good for your teeth. It's not good for your esophagus. It's mm-hmm. being underweight has problems. Low self-esteem in general, alcohol and drug abuse is another risk, just of having a low body or a poor body image. Reduced physical activity was listed, and I was trying to kind of think about how that would affect you, but I guess if you're kind of depressed and stuff, it kind of leads to a vicious cycle. Like for me, sometimes if I'm depressed or I'm feeling down, I just like really want to sit down with like ice cream or like some right. Oreos. But mm-hmm. then like I do that and then right after I get done, I'm like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I feel even worse about myself.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I almost even like tell myself, like, have you ever been like, I'm allergic to this, so I can't eat it. If I eat it, I know I will not feel good. I'll feel sick. I'm allergic to it.
I've never done that one. That's interesting.
I've tried to like psych myself out of things okay. sometimes.
This is going to make me sound like a sad person, but it's like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what's going like good for me right now. So I just need some type of joy in my life. Like mm-hmm. I just need to have some ice cream.
Yeah.
Because nothing else is going the way I want it to or whatever it is.
I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. About 10% of women have deliberately hurt themselves because of their body image. So that's kind of dark. I can't say that I've ever done self-harm in a way that's like obvious. I know that I pushed myself at the gym probably mm-hmm. more than is necessary. I know one time I think it was like, you could say binge eating, like binge and purge, but like,
yeah.
I generally didn't do the purge like in a throw up. But I know one time I was in college and I just really wanted spaghetti. So I went to Hy-Vee and I bought like, they had like ready-made spaghetti things from their deli. Mm-hmm. And I ate that. And then afterward I felt so bad that I did try to throw it up. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's not easy to just make yourself throw up. So
yeah,
that was kind of a fail, but I probably made myself go to the gym then the next day and like, you mm-hmm. know.
I remember in high school, I don't know why I did this, but I was like, I just want like a donut. So I went to the donut shop that morning and I bought a dozen. I don't know why. I don't know what overcame me. And guess what? I sat down and I ate 12 donuts in one sitting. And I don't know what my mental thought was because of it. It's not because I was like just hungry, but I was like, I don't even remember. Like, I feel like I blacked out and I ate 12 donuts. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah. No, it's okay. Like, I don't know if any longtime listeners out there will remember my fascination with Kraft dinner.
Oh yeah, macaroni.
But I've definitely, I mean, it says there's like 3 or 4 servings in there and I definitely mm-hmm. will sit down and like, I haven't done this for a long time, but I would sit down and like eat the whole box myself. This is my box of Kraft mm-hmm. dinner. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I get so territorial over food and Jesse hates it. Jesse, he always shares and whatever, and he thinks that I should just share too, but I'm very territorial with my food and I don't want to share.
Yeah.
So just like being with him, like I feel like that's one of the big things that I have to learn.
Oh no.
And then on top of that, having a kid too, like my kid wants to eat what I eat.
Oh yeah.
So like, I mean, I don't feel nearly as bad sharing with him because I'm like, we're sharing.
You just need to have
cute. Like,
you need to have twice as much of whatever you like, more than you want, and then you won't worry about giving it away. Maybe I don't know.
I know. Well, I think I'll still get territorial. I mean, if it's something really good and I never have, like, and Jesse's like, "Can I have a bite?" And I don't know why all men are like this, but they take this big ass bite out of whatever you have, the biggest, and it leaves me nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, can't even enjoy it.
Will does that. Like, he doesn't really ask for food so much, but like if I have something to drink and like we're, I don't know, going for a drive, or he'd be like, can I have a drink, and I give it to him and it's like, you just drink the rest of it. Well, we kind of went off the whole like people hurting themselves because of body image, and we talked about cravings. I guess the tail end of that was that even though not very many in that study that I cited about like self-harm and that kind of thing, even though a small sample size of that study was part of the LGBT community, mm-hmm. a very large percentage of them had thoughts that were like that. And I think that kind of, I mean, a lot of that could be like we talked about with trans, like seeing, you know, what you're not feeling. I think there is kind of a pressure. I heard that gay men have a lot of body issues, but gay women have less. And I thought that was interesting. I don't know. I mean, I can't really speak to why that might be.
Yeah, that is interesting. I remember like one of my friends who's gay, and like I remember like one night hanging out, and she's like was really, really sad and was like, I can't control. It was like her way of saying that she was gay, and she's like, I can't really control my feelings, but I can control my body. And she was very like athletically built, and like she was in shape and everything. And she's like, I can't control anything else but my body. And like, I kind of get that mental process.
Okay. Yeah. That kind of makes sense. It kind of the one thing you can control. Mm-hmm. So maybe you would be more harsh on yourself about if you're trying, you know, or set higher standards in that respect. Okay.
Like being raised where we're at, like, especially in my hometown, like people, you don't really like come out in high school. Like,
yeah.
In this area, because people are going to like judge you for it really, really harshly. And like people around here just are a little more,
yeah,
I don't know, ignorant of things. So
yeah, for sure. I think it's like for gay men, I guess I could see where maybe there's pressure to fit into like that stereotypical gay man. Like, I don't know. You think of a gay man as being like cut. They have, you know, like tanned and like, very stylish and that kind of thing. So maybe that pressure to fit into that stereotype weighs on them a lot. Here's something that I've known, but I kind of was like, whatever. So this is basically about attractive people. Studies have shown that attractive children are more popular, both with classmates and teachers. And they get higher higher scores on like assignments and stuff just because teachers like them more.
Isn't that funny? Because I think everyone from my high school who was popular was attractive, and like they all did good in school. Like it was a very, I don't want to say elite bunch, but I mean they were like all, I would consider them smart kids. I felt dumb compared to them.
I was in the smart group in school, but I would always get frustrated, I don't know, when I knew like some of, especially there's some guys that were popular. There weren't as many girls that were like, I guess at the top of the class that were popular, but some of the guys were at the top of the class that were also like athletic and stuff. And I remember one time I found out that they cheated on a physics test, and I got so upset because I was like, why do they have to have everything? Like, they're popular and they're getting good grades and they're at the top of the class. If they have to cheat to get there, like, why can't they let us have it? Like, us nerds have it. So I was just like annoyed by that. Yeah. But
and they didn't get in trouble or anything.
I don't think anybody, I don't think so. Yeah, they just got away with it. Attractive applicants for jobs have a better chance at getting the job. They get higher salaries. One US study found that taller men earned about $600 per inch more than shorter executives.
Really?
Yeah. So,
shoot.
Getting that bottom dollar here. So, in court, attractive people are found guilty less often. And when they are found guilty, they receive less severe sentences. And this makes me think of that. I don't know his name, but he was like the hot mugshot guy, hot felon.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember what his crime was or anything, but all I know is he, like, everybody, like, was like, don't send him to jail. And he, like, got a modeling. Yeah.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cured.
The bias for beauty operates in almost all social situations. So basically, in any type of situation, we all as a society react more favorably to physically attractive people. So. And there is also, and I do remember learning about this in like a psychology class. It's the what is beautiful, what is good stereotype. And it's like a deep-seated cultural belief that people who are physically attractive are like better people. They're smarter they're more competent. They have better morals. I don't know. And everything. And then like, and it's goes really far back to where like the good fairy or princess is always beautiful. The wicked stepmother is always ugly. It's a deeply rooted thing. And so,
or do they think it's like because only good things have ever happened to them in their life because of their looks, which means they have like a more positive outlook on the world, giving them like more positive morals and blah, blah, blah. I root for the underdog. Like,
yeah.
If I'm gravitate more towards, I don't know, I would not be with the popular crowd or I would not be with the hot people or anything because to me, that seems like a little intimidating, I guess. I'd always be like concerned on what I look like.
Yeah.
I'd be more concerned about that. So I gravitate towards the underdogs, I guess you could say.
I remember reading this one time and this just came up like it's not in my notes. So I'm going to try to explain this without any notes. So I remember reading that women, when you walk into the room, instantly assess all the other women and like you can place a hierarchy in your head of where you are in that group.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure. And men don't really do that so much because I read that men and men, please tell me because I am not a man, but I read that men honestly generally don't really have as much of a sense of where their attractiveness compared to another man's attractiveness aligns. Like they don't really can't perceive themselves or they don't, maybe it's just practice. I don't know what it is, but they don't really have that ability to match themselves up with others unless it's, they know Brad Pitt is supposed to be, you know, attractive or, you know,
Brad Pitt is so attractive. I just watched Benjamin Button again recently and oh my God.
But yeah, so, and I honestly can say that I probably could definitely hierarchy myself in pretty much any room when I walk in.
Yeah.
And I usually put, it's like, you just know, like when you walk into a room, and I mean, it's not just like making a hierarchy, but like, I know what I think people are going to think of me. And it's usually like a negative thing.
That is super interesting to think about.
Yeah. Women are more competitive in that regard, I think. And it's
it's because like we see what like the standard of beauty is like constantly throughout the day. So we're like fully aware of what like the ideal body type is for a woman right now and like hair and makeup and clothes. Like we know all the things. So a person is in the room with all those things. We're like, all right, yeah, she's the hottest one here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like society has kind of bred us to get value out of our looks. Like men, I think, have other ways. Not that women don't have other ways to create value for themselves, but I think men have been more accepted other ways to get value for themselves as far as like earnings, jobs, intelligence, handyman skills, whatever it may be. And women, like you may have all those things, but oftentimes it's your appearance that is the number one list on your value in a lot of people's eyes. So I think that's why it gets so competitive. And it reminds me of studying primates and stuff. And I'm not making an excuse because just because monkeys do it doesn't mean that humans, you know, it doesn't mean it's fair. But I know that like, well, I feel like the men, like usually there's like one guy in a group of like many women and like the women, I'm calling monkeys women, female monkeys, one male monkey and then like a bunch of female monkeys. And then the females have to like kind of vie for his like approval.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm not up for that. I'm not here for it.
No. Have you seen, this is just like a quick sidetrack, but still in the same thing. Like that stupid Netflix show. It's like Hottest on Earth or Hottest. I don't know, something hottest. Maybe. And it's like a group of like hot people go to an island, but they have to remain like, I don't know, like they can't do anything like sexual or like no touching, no sex, like no kissing, no nothing. And like they compete. And at the end, whoever is like doing the best earns a prize, whatever.
Huh. I remember there used to be a website called Hot or Not that you could put your picture on and people would rate you.
Oh, yeah. So, I remember that too.
That was great for the old self-esteem.
Okay, so just like a quick quick old history, and I'm sure it might even date back to earlier to what I'm saying, but like this is when kind of fashion was really on the uprise, and that was during like the Victorian time, and like corsets were kind of coming into style, and corsets were like directly related to your like class status as a woman. I mean, even like lower class women would have corsets on. This was like back in the 1800s, and it was basically declared like you're decently dressed in public if you have a corset on. Mm-hmm. And the idea of a corset is to cinch your waist down to as little as 18 inches around, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
So that's what it would do. And, you know, fashion magazines declared that it was, you know, the status of beauty if you have a corset on. Mm-hmm. And it has to be the tiniest, and you have to have your butt really big. I don't know. What are those? I have crinolines on. Crinolines.
Okay.
I don't know what that does, but that was a big thing too. And it's just basically to mold your body into the ideal hourglass shape that women should have, which mm-hmm. will directly tell you where you are with social. And it's the only way you can successfully attract a male.
Ah, that's the goal.
You gotta get a husband if you got 18 inches waist. That's crazy. Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, I just saw something today that the ancient Egyptians are always drawn as like tall and thin and like chiseled. Mm-hmm. And the royals were actually short and fat and bald.
Very inbred though too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess they had like rampant lice problems, so like men and women would just shave their entire bodies, and then the women would wear wigs that like they'd use until they got too lice ridden, and then they'd throw them out and get a new wig. So those royals were not actually, they did not look like how they are portrayed in mm-hmm. the paintings on the two walls. They were short, fat, and bald.
And then just like a quick timeline in like the 1900s, the Gibson girl was all the rage. I would compare the Gibson girl to a modern day Kim Kardashian look, like okay. what the ideal body look is now, like yeah. very voluptuous, slender, wide hips, big bust, all the things. The 20s, the flapper, flat chest, thin, just very boxy kind of looking.
Mm-hmm.
The 30s was fashion in wartime. You didn't want to be very skinny, but you wanted to be curvaceous.
Okay.
Whatever that means. The 50s was post-war, so you want the busty, voluptuous Marilyn Monroe vibe.
Uh-huh.
That was a thing. 60s was the twiggy, thin.
I feel like it just goes back and forth.
It really does. Yeah. It's like basically whoever is the next hot celebrity is what yeah. the style is. So yeah, like 60s was twiggy, like boyish, kind of went back to the flapper vibe. 70s, thin was in. Diet pills were becoming very mainstream, and anorexia was getting a lot of attention.
Ooh.
But I also associate 70s with like busty women. And
yeah, like, I was thinking like Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, that was like late 70s.
Okay.
And then 80s was like the whole supermodel, Playboy, Farrah Fawcett type look. The Playboy bunny thing like I was talking about earlier. Playboy models were actually, they weighed 15% less than the healthy average weight for their size. And then the 1990s, which I think was the grossest time, they called it heroin chic. Oh. Why would you want to look like you're on heroin? Like, why was that a thing?
To just look know.
Like skull, like sunken cheeks, dead eyes,
yeah,
dark circles under your eye, like your hair, you wanted it to look like straw. Like, why was that a thing?
I
to
don't
look
know.
Unhealthy?
Yeah.
And that kind of brings us to today, where I think we all kind of know what that size, like the ideal body shape
yeah.
is. So.
I saw that in 1917, the physically perfect woman was about 5'4" tall and weighed nearly 140 pounds. For you international listeners, that's 10 stone or 64 kilos. But then even 25 years ago, the top models and beauty queens weighed 8% less than the average woman. And now they weigh 23% less than the average woman. So
yeah. And models right now are like clinically anorexic. Like,
yeah.
They are anorexic women.
Well,
and people strive to look like that.
And you mentioned that like the media ideal for women is like achievable by like 5%. Mm-hmm. But what about you can make something that's not real practically from like no even human existing, and it's almost indiscernible from a real image.
Oh my God. I've seen like a Photoshop time lapse thing of someone taking a slice of pizza and making it into a person, like a model.
Yeah.
Like just using Photoshop. So that just like goes to show you like, the media truly does deceive you.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're not even shooting for real people anymore. We're shooting for like computer images. Have you heard of a deep fake?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Evidently, this is something that I guess is coming up because our technology has advanced far enough now. But a deep fake is like, I guess they can make like a video of, say, like a presidential candidate in a compromising situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like indiscernible from a real thing. So I guess that is something that's coming around and people are starting to worry about, because
that is interesting.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you wanted to take a quiz on your body image.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. So, all right. So question number one, you're staying over at your boyfriend or girlfriend's house for the first time. You both wake up in the morning and you have to go to the bathroom, but you can't find your clothes. Do you go naked?
Is he still asleep?
Doesn't say.
If he is, then yeah. If he's not, I would try to find something to cover up.
Yeah.
Does he live alone? There's these questions.
I think we're supposed to assume that somebody might see you, because otherwise, why does it matter?
I would definitely just try to find something to cover up.
I'm going to put no. I wouldn't, unless, yeah, if he was like passed out, whatever, I'd run for it, I guess. Okay. Your significant other is in a photography class. And these are kind of, I don't know, I picked this because I thought a lot of the questionnaires were like, rate 1 through 5, how satisfied you are with when you look in the mirror, like boring.
Yeah.
These were kind of funnier. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Your significant other is in a photography class and asks you to be the nude subject for their work. If you were promised that only the instructor and other students would see the photos, would you agree to it?
Oof.
I can tell you what my answer is.
This isn't a class. I would say, as long as my face isn't in it and he doesn't tell anyone that I'm the subject. I mean, there's conditions to all of these.
Yeah. I mean, if no one can identify you, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something to ponder.
Okay.
This kind of, we already talked about this. When someone of the same sex walks into the room, do you compare your body to theirs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're in the middle of a 2-week project at work and you're unable to get to the gym for regular exercise. Do you feel anxious about getting out of shape, welcome the break from your rigorous schedule, or realize it's a temporary situation and you'll just get back to your schedule soon?
Yeah, I feel anxious.
It depends on where I'm at in my cycle of couch potato and exercising. Your office has organized a group outing to the water park. Will you go but strategically hide your problem areas, wear a bathing suit and go, or not go because you'd rather be caught dead than have your coworkers see your body?
I'd rather be caught dead.
Yeah.
But also, I have no desire to like go to a water park with my coworkers.
Yeah.
Are we children?
Weird. Do you keep clothing that's too small, hoping that one day you'll fit into it?
Yes.
Yes. My entire closet. Would you have plastic surgery to alter a body part that you don't like?
Yes. I've, like, looked into it.
Really?
Yeah, like cool sculpting and that sort of thing. Yeah.
I guess something like that maybe I would consider. I feel like I would just feel so guilty spending the money on it that that's enough to keep me from doing it. I don't really have like much of a problem with my basic facial features, except like losing weight. But I might like consider doing some type of like chemical treatment or something for the my dark spot on my face that I talked about. I don't know if that classifies as plastic surgery, but
yeah.
Are you disappointed with what you see when you look at yourself in the nude in the mirror?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you keep your towel on in a crowded sauna?
I would, yeah.
I don't know what this one means for sure. Have you ever torn the size tag of a pair of jeans? Does that mean like so other people couldn't see?
Oh, yeah, that's what I would assume it is.
Okay.
No, I guess not.
Yeah, I haven't ever like left my jeans laying around where somebody would like look. Okay, let's see if what our body image is. We scored a 10.
Meaning what?
Basically that we have a lot of insecurities.
Yeah, shocker.
It says you're not overjoyed with your physical appearance, to put it lightly. So there's a whole paragraph. If you guys answered along with us to similar answers, you're not alone.
Yeah, you're part of the 91%.
Yeah. What can we do though, Rachel? What can we do to help ourselves? Yeah.
Well, I feel like nowadays is really like the whole body positivity movement type thing is really strong these days. And a lot of companies recognize like to be size inclusive. So, I mean, there's a lot, like I just Googled companies that support like body inclusive sizes and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, anyone can just search that and find. I really liked like Aerie.
Okay.
Like their bras and stuff, like they don't use like models for their like marketing. They will take like, if I took a picture of myself in like an Aerie swimsuit or whatever, and I used like a hashtag that they have designated, they could reach out to me and be like, hey, is it okay if we use your photo for our next advertisement? And
that's
I would
cool.
like agree or whatever.
Yeah.
But like they use real women and not like hired airbrush models.
Yeah. Huh.
I also found this one website. It's called Swimsuits for All and their Instagram. So they have sizes like super inclusive, whatever, but they have everyone from like all ages and it, like elderly women are in swimsuits on their Instagram and it's so cute and I really like it.
That is cool. I have this leggings brand and I can't remember what it's called. Something with pockets or something. I don't know. But they have kind of the same thing where it shows up on my Facebook feed all the time. Mm-hmm. And like they have a huge range of sizes and they have like a mom and her daughter, like an elderly woman and that kind of thing. They even have one girl that's like in a wheelchair in the leggings. And I don't know, it's just kind of cool to see that type of inclusivity and representation. One thing that I did want to ask you. So do you think, obviously the body positive movement, I think has a lot of benefits, but do you think that it could ever go too far? Meaning, I found an interview that was with Jillian Michaels from Biggest Loser, and she was on some type of daytime talk show, and somebody said something about Lizzo, and she was basically, let me just find the quote here. They said something about like, oh, isn't it great that she, you know, promotes body positivity and that kind of thing. And Jillian was like, why does it matter? Why aren't we celebrating her music? Because it isn't going to be awesome if she gets diabetes.
Oh.
And then there was another quote like regarding that, saying basically, rather than encouraging people to do better, they're simply they're just, society is choosing to lie to them and tell them that they're fine the way they are instead of trying to get healthy. And I think it's referring more to people who are like pretty overweight, like that promoting body positivity in any case mm-hmm. like regardless, like my 600 pound life type of situation, mm-hmm. you know, maybe doesn't get people the help they need for health reasons. Right. But again, like you don't want anybody to ever feel like they're less worthy of respect and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, that's a fine line there. Yeah. I mean, I've seen like Lizzo's Instagrams and stuff. Like she takes care of herself. She works out. She knows what she's doing. So I don't know if she's like a subject of concern, but I do think like if you are at the doctor and they're giving you medical advice that you need to pay attention to what you're doing, otherwise serious health issues may happen. I think that's the time where you need to like really take matters into your own hands and like do something about it. And mm-hmm. then you can preach like body positivity. Like, let's say like you're not like losing weight, but you're gaining muscle and you know, like your cholesterol is going down or whatever. Yeah. You can be like, I'm still the same size and I still love it and I'm healthy. And I just feel like as long as you're healthy at whatever weight you are and you're happy with that, then that's great, I guess.
Yeah, no, I like that answer because I guess I kind of have gone back and forth because I do feel sometimes I don't think we should promote like being unhealthy, mm-hmm. but who am I to say like somebody is unhealthy when I don't know their medical records? Mm-hmm. And there are more and more studies that say like diabetes, I mean, there's a lot of hereditary factors that go into it. A lot of people who are overweight never get diabetes. Like it's not mm-hmm. just because you're overweight. So I think as long as you're healthy, I think if a doctor does say something, you probably should listen to them. Yeah. But until then, I don't think other people should feel like they can tell you you're going to die from a heart attack just because you're overweight, because that's right. not their business.
Exactly. I totally agree. So. Yeah. I mean, you need to do it for yourself though, too. Like mm-hmm. I get that people could tell you like all day, like you need to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. But like you need to do it for yourself though too, not just because someone else is telling you.
Yeah. And I think it goes the other way too. Like if people are telling you that you're beautiful and you know, you're great just the way you are, but you don't believe that yourself, mm-hmm. then it's just, yeah, I think if you're going to preach body positivity that you do need to kind of follow it up, I guess, or do something like if you're exercising, do it for yourself. But I don't know. It's so hard to say like change yourself if you don't feel good about yourself. But like,
right.
I guess maybe it's more focusing on different aspects of yourself. Like as long as you're healthy again, like mm-hmm. if you're not healthy, if you are having high cholesterol or, you know, some type of thing like that, you might want to work on that. But mm-hmm. if you are healthy, but you're just not happy with yourself, you know, maybe be really conscious of the things you say to yourself in your head. Because I know that one thing that I've done for myself before is I had like a post-it note on my door of my dorm room and I would like write one positive thing every morning about myself on there. And mm-hmm. that kind of like small thing really does make a difference because you're forcing yourself to think positively about yourself. Mm-hmm. Maybe stop following people who are Instagram models and start following things like puppies or architecture or food or, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. So that mm-hmm. it's not just images of skinny people all day long that have been photoshopped beyond recognition.
Ugh, yeah. I mean, personally, I don't know how to use Facetune or whatever. So I don't know if I could ever get carried away with that. But
I mean, Snapchat filters are pretty good sometimes.
Yeah, I will agree. But just to like end that, I would say, just get your body healthy, but also keep your mind healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, writing a positive thing about yourself every day. I think that's a really good idea. And even if it's like more than that, I mean, I think therapy is a great thing. And I think therapy should be just a regular thing for everyone.
I think so too. And I think that something like therapy or even just, I don't know, if you can't get to therapy, kind of taking some time, I don't know if you'd call it meditating, but just I think it boils down to awareness of if you are feeling very negatively about yourself, kind of making yourself aware of what's going on. Like, okay, this isn't because I am worthless or I am so unattractive. It's because of you know, all these reasons that we've outlined today that mm-hmm. really don't have anything to do with your worth as a person, and mm-hmm. just kind of tell yourself, okay, just because I looked in the mirror and I didn't like the shape of my nose doesn't, like, there's a lot of other stuff. Like, that's just me negative talking to myself. And there's a lot of other things that are great about me. There could mm-hmm. be somebody else out there who is jealous of my nose or whatever it is, and mm-hmm. I don't know about it. Just kind of checking yourself when you start to get negative and forcing yourself to balance it out in some way, I guess. I think, I know that's really hard. It's not something that you just can start doing right away, but.
Mm-hmm. I think also a great piece of advice would be to talk to, if you're able to talk to your mom, mm-hmm. because as a mother, I would never want my son to come up to me and be like, I hate this about me and I hate this about me. And I'd be like, well, I grew that.
Yeah,
and I think it's beautiful. And like, I don't think there's anything better than like a mom to hype you up about yourself, because your mom's going to love you and like be obsessed with every single inch of you, like no matter what.
True. So true. Do you have any closing thoughts or anything like that?
I think I've said my piece.
Yes. And I do think that everybody should, I mean, there is nobody out there that doesn't have a worth and a value. Like, even if you are on my 600-pound life and you are unhealthy, there's a reason to get healthy and to feel good about yourself, I guess. There's, you know, mm-hmm. you should always give yourself the benefit of the doubt in that respect. Yeah. And reach out if you need help. Don't be afraid, because mm-hmm. there are going to be 9 out of 10 people that are feeling similar, at least in some way, to you. So you're definitely mm-hmm. not the only person, and you shouldn't be ashamed of feeling that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Okay.
All right. Well, just some quick notes. We should have another episode. Well, we have an episode in the bag right now, so that will come out first, but we are really excited to get back on schedule and mm-hmm. keep exposing for you guys. So tell your friends, we need to get back on the wheel here.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Clicked end meeting instead of